way down. So when you're preaching in context or teaching in context, you're going to see it. It's going to be line on line. You're going to see it come out more clearly. Philippians chapter 1 in verse 1 is kind of where we're going to be. I'm hoping to get to the meat of it. I've seen some new things and I've learned some things as I've studied this out into chapter 12, 13, 14, but there's a lot to be learned here, okay? So let's get into it. Y'all ready? Philippians chapter 1, y'all ready? I'm sorry about the word. Scott's had a crazy day. Pray for him. I've got a friend named Scotty Bowman over, not Bowman, Scotty Bowman over in Polk County, Tennessee, fighting for his life with cancer. They gave him, we went to elementary school, high school. They called me. They thought he went to sleep, but he woke up a little while ago. They thought he went to sleep, didn't know if he's ever going to wake up again. So y'all be praying for him. 48 years old, went to school with him. I know his sister real well and his kids. Just be praying that God will give him healing if it's his will or mercy or grace in that. Just be praying, all right? Pray for Keith Brown's sister. She's got COVID, had it for the last 20 days, and it doesn't look well. That's on the prayer list, so remember to pray for that, all right? Let's pray before we go into this service. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Wednesday night. Used to be just called prayer meeting. We used to come on Wednesday night, just pray and seek the Lord. We learn and teach a lot of times on Wednesday now, but I still like the idea of coming and praying. You've heard our prayer requests, Lord, and you know our desires and what we'd have. Lord, Scotty's in a bad way. Lord, we just pray for him. We pray that you touch his body. And Keith's sister, Lord God, we pray for her. We pray that you just touch and heal her body. Lord God, we're still believing in a healing God, a God who can touch sickness and death. Lord, I pray right now for the COVID. The numbers are going up. Infection rates are going up. Lord, I pray that you put a hedge of protection around us and keep us safe and give us the ability to walk through this. Give us wisdom and guidance and understanding how to do it. Lord, we pray for the Word of God. We pray for it to go out good tonight. Get in our hearts and our minds. Change us. It'll do us no good whatsoever to just come to the house of God if we're not willing to change and be changed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul and Timotheus, right? Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you. Let me go back up there to get verse 1. I know y'all are probably looking right now going, oh, it's going to be a while. Let's look at that word servants right there. I love, no matter where, Paul and all the apostles, when they're writing the scriptures, they never, ever, ever get over being servants, slaves, bond servants, of God, of Jesus. Amen? They never get over being saved. I want y'all to get that. If you meet somebody who's been born again, claims salvation, and they've just gotten over it, there's a question mark right there. There's a red flag right there. Ask them. So why have you gotten over that? Because that's a big deal. Seems like everybody that wrote the scriptures that knew Jesus never got over it. Amen. And I love their heart. I'm talking about if they had the opportunity to pen a letter to a church, a ministry that ends up in the Word of God, God breathed this whole scriptures. Led by the Holy Spirit, breathed by the Holy Spirit. We understand that, and it's in the Bible. Well, guess what? When somebody wrote, said, I'm a servant in this part, I am a slave to Christ. Amen? I wish we would get that mentality. He is my master. He is my Lord, and I will do as he commands me. Amen? That you can't have salvation without lordship. If you have a salvation without lordship, you need to check on it. Because what it means is, what is lordship? That means God leads your life. You can want to do some things, but have y'all done this? I feel myself getting led over here by the Spirit. Have you ever said something to somebody and mid-sentence, like I'll say, well, this is what I would do. This is what I do. I've done this just recently. Somebody was talking about the traffic on the mountain. Has anybody had any conversations about how traffic is going on this mountain? It's going good, ain't it? 80 miles an hour. Okay, yeah, y'all got, all right, so we got in a conversation about how it can get kind of dicey out there and kind of get your blood boiling, right? If the wrong person gets behind you and wants to pass you, Man, do y'all live up here? Okay, all right. Anyway, okay, well, in mid-sentence, I said something like, well, this is what I would do, and this is what I think about what I would do. And then within a half a breath, God said, yeah, but you can't and you won't. Amen? Is that all right? And then you have to say it out loud too. Yes, I would chase that person. Yes, I would want to whoop them. Yes, come on. Because that's ignorant, right? It is ignorant. But I have to wait in the Holy Spirit to say, but I can't. Because what I would have to do is I would have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to do. And even if it comes down to the point, if I'm going to have to pull on over the road, ask forgiveness for myself and pray for that person. Whew. Yeah, I know. We can. Y'all want to have altar call now, or we want to wait till the end of service? But I want you to get that. That's leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's when you think you have total control over your life and you have the ability to do whatever you want to do. But guess what? You do not. God's in the leadership. And that Holy Spirit, when it starts to talk, when it starts to speak, you have to say, I surrender, or I yield. I want you to see this. I yield. And it's not easy to do, but it's better to do. Can I say right there? You just put yourself in that, you know, in that little traffic situation where you got to yield and let that faster, more powerful vehicle go by you, or the one that's got the more momentum. You yield and let it go, and you get in behind it. That is the Holy Spirit. What's going to happen is you jump out there in front of God, you are going to have a mess on your hands. Amen? But if you yield and wait on the Spirit of God and get in behind Him, He's going to lead you in the right way, and you won't have to repent. You won't have to apologize. You won't have to feel bad about it. You won't have to come in here and drag around halfway through 10 worship songs and 3 messages and figure out, God, why won't you speak to me? Why won't you help me? Because you got ahead of me. Amen. I hope y'all are getting that, Lordship. That's one verse. I know we're wanting to get down into the 13th and 14th verse. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. You know what I found out? I've done this little study about this and I never noticed it. That this is Macedonia. This is Asia Minor. Did y'all know this? At Philippi? Or Philip? The Philippian church, Philippi? Did you know that in these 4 chapters, Paul is more intimate with this church and this city than any other book that he writes? In 100 times, he uses I, me, or my in the 4 chapters of this book. 50 times in these 4 chapters, he says I. That's intimate. That's personal. Amen? This is a personal book for Paul. Do you know why it's a personal book for Paul? I believe it's one of those places. It's one of those shifts in your ministry when he was praying and he wanted to go do some things. Listen, I hope I'm preaching to some people tonight that we're a small group tonight, but I'm hoping I'm preaching to a group kind of looking at you, and I'm kind of identifying, and this thing's going through here too, but I'm looking at some people who just are not satisfied with just being a church member. We're just not satisfied with, you know what, I'm gonna make it to church and that's going to be enough. You want to reach people. You want to help people. You want to be more to God. You want to be more useful to God and more useful to people than just being a church member. Amen? Just being somebody who warms a pew. Let's say it that way. Amen? So guess what? This is where Paul is praying to go, and he's praying, let me go here, let me go there, let me here go. Y'all remember? It's in Acts 16. He's praying to go, but then all of a sudden, he can't go. It's going to tie into what I preached earlier in that first verse. He heard the Holy Spirit like a person waving, saying, come over here. Y'all remember? To Macedonia. Come on. Man, I hope y'all get that. You're as a Christian, when we want to do things and we want to go and we want to be a part of something, sometimes God, he puts a rein or a bit in our mouths. Amen? But let me say this before I move on. I would rather you be in saying, go, 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 and me having to say, whoa, 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 than for me having to say, come on, man, let's do something. Amen? It's easier to slow down a raging horse than to kick a dead mule into life. Amen? Are y'all staying with me right there? But what he's saying is, like, when that Holy Spirit, see, all of a sudden he's praying, he's wanting to go, and he's wanting to do. And, man, I hope some of y'all got, like, a fire on the inside, and you're like, man, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this. But you know what? When you get really focused, and you're like, God, I'm not going to go until I see what you want me to do. And when I see what you want me to do, then I'm not going to hold back at all. Amen. When you make it clear to me, Lord, I'm not going to step before you. But once you say go, I'm going. And when Paul seen that in Macedonia, he seen that spirit over there waving like a man. He told them all. He said, we're going to Macedonia. And they cut over into Macedonia, and they ran down by the river and by the creek. And that's where they found women down there praying. They were trying to get a hold of what the Jewish God was. But guess what? He walked by and he gave them Jesus. Amen. That's where he met Lydia, who was a Gentile who was selling purple, who had a great business going on, was seeking God, but sent Paul. And the next thing you know, there's where Paul starts the church at Philippi. Amen. For the Philippian church, it started right there in her business. She becomes a hub for Philippi, the whole ministry at Macedonia. She becomes like a hub to him. I hope I'm not killing y'all with too much information. But what I like about that is, guess what? That never happened to Paul before or after in his ministry in the Bible. So it's personal to him. I hope, I can't wait. It's happened to me. I can't wait till something turns over for you and you get that point where you're like, man, God moved in a big way and he said, come over here. He might not do it again, but he only has to do it once. Amen. He only has to do it one time in your whole ministry, in your whole life, to he's going to lead me all the way through. Amen. I hope y'all got that. I hope I didn't murky that up too much. But I wanted y'all to get, man, I love this in Philippi. I love it how it ties. If you get a chance, take your Bible and go over and read Acts 16. This is the church that's talking about. Remember when y'all talking about Paul and Silas in the prison at midnight and they began to pray? Remember that? And they were beaten and the jailer was watching them. Y'all remember that, right? In the midnight hour. When the clock flipped over from 11:59 to 12 a.m., and then Paul leaned over to Silas and said, joy comes in the morning. Amen. Joy comes in the morning. He didn't say 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. or say, hey, it's morning time, ain't it? And they started singing, and God started shaking his foot because he said, you know, the earth's his footstool. Y'all remember that, right? And God just using the earth as his footstool, kind of tapping his foot. And all the chains fell off and all the doors came open. And the jailer would kill himself. And Paul said, do yourself no harm. Man, I love that. I love that story. You know why? Do yourself no harm. Neither us or anybody else has escaped. You know God's moving. When jails have bust open and prisoners are going, we would rather stay here than go anywhere else. Not one prisoner said, you know what, I'm going to escape. I believe it might be on this line right here. There's more freedom right here in this room than I've ever experienced in my whole life. There's probably some people more free in jail than there are people who are free out of jail. Amen? Think about that. But Paul remembers that. That's when he's writing back to the people at Philippi. He's remembering those. And that's why it's so personal to him, because that's where God kind of turned it over and said, let me show you what you're going to be doing. And this is the first time. I'm not going to do it every time, but I'm going to do it a time to show you this is where I want you. So he never forgets. There's people early in ministry. I'm never going to forget them. Amen. That when I had big signs. My big sign back in the day used to be crosses up in the sky. And I'm not going to get into that whole story. I'll tell it some other day. But it happened all the time in weirdest ways. But I'll tell you some other time. So let's go a little further. I love it. It's I's and me's and my a lot. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Look at verse 6. This needs to be a life verse. Highlight this, make a note by it, do whatever you got to do, make a note in your notepad to record this later. Being confident, right? Being confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Whew, that is a big verse. Paul just flat out tells them, I remember who you are. I know who you are. I know exactly what's going on in your life. Praise God. I knew when the Lord moved into Philippi, or when he moved into Macedonia. Listen to this. Whatever he started, he's going to finish. Man, you might want to just jot that down in your life. You might want to make that note. Whatever he started, he's going to finish. Amen. And that's pretty cool for us right here tonight on a Wednesday night. We're in here. Every one of y'all look pretty healthy tonight. I'm just saying that. Y'all look pretty healthy. And you're doing all right. So tonight, it's pretty easy to say, man, all right, you know, he's going to finish good. When you're at your lowest point, and life will happen, some things will happen in our lives, you remember, he who began a good work in you is going to finish it on the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. God didn't start you. He didn't start in you. God, I feel like I'm going to preach right here for a second. So y'all just bear with me. He didn't start in you, and he didn't start in your flesh. Y'all hear? Did you hear what I just said? He didn't start in your flesh. He started in your spirit. Amen. Y'all hear what I just said? He didn't save your flesh. He saved your spirit. Amen. He saved your soul. Amen. So when he saved you, he did not save this flesh. He did not save you from your flesh decaying, falling apart, getting sick. No, he did not do that. Amen. Sometimes we mistake that. We think if you listen to the wrong kind of teaching and preaching, you'll just think, man, if I'm not healthy and I'm doing well, somehow God's against me and I failed. That's not true. Amen. Matter of fact, God's put some of the heaviest burdens on some of the sickest people, but he loves them just the same. Amen. All right, I just want you to know, if not the same, he knows what they can handle. He knows what your faith is rated for. Whew, hope that makes sense. But guess what? I want y'all to hear this too, because this is important. This has been in my spirit for about 2 days. God didn't save you from other people's bad circumstances either. It's Wednesday night. Y'all just kind of stay with me right there. If something bad happens to somebody around you, you can't say, well, now that must be God against me, or God's not for me, or God's not around. You know what? God saved your soul. Amen? There's still life going on. There's things going on. And God is a multi-level, multi-layer God. Just because something bad's happening, that doesn't mean God's not working. Amen? Because sometimes we think, well, if this happens, then this is the end, or this is over, this is bad. God is good at working in circumstances that we can't work in. Let me break it down a little bit further. He works in rooms that we can't walk in. He works behind doors that we can't go through. Amen? He works with other people that we're not going to be a part of. When you think, oh man, they're isolated, they're alone, they're never going to be, that's when God does some of his greatest, greatest work. Amen? What your position in that is keep praying and keep the faith and keep believing and trusting God. Amen? Because he who started a good work in you will finish it in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's good. I love when Paul wrote that. That should be an encouragement to you. He's trying to encourage them, and I'll get to another point on that here in a little bit. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. We are seeking excellence, not spiritual. We're seeking the good thing. Amen. That one, as we're walking through this thing, we're seeking knowledge. We're seeking Jesus. We're seeking his wisdom. We're seeking his righteousness. And then we are seeking the excellent thing. Amen. We are not trying to get the lowest common denominator. I think we do that in church too many times. I'm a sinner. I fell short. And that's true. That's fine. If we do mess up, we fall short. But in that same thought, we should not want to stay on a lower level. We shouldn't want to stay pecking around with the chickens if we're going to soar with eagles. Does that make sense to you? Amen? If we don't want to hang out with the wrong kind of birds, right? We want to kind of start growing as a believer. I don't want to be in the same place 5 years from now than I am today. Amen? I didn't want to be where I was 10 years ago as a Christian. I want to grow. I want to kind of let some things come in that's supposed to be in. I want to subtract some things that ain't supposed to be there. Amen? That's what Paul's saying. He said, y'all should be growing. You shouldn't be the same people that when I left Macedonia and I went on to the different places, and now he's in Rome and he's in prison. He goes, you should not even be close to where you were when I was there last. Amen? That's good. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Verse 12, y'all, really, we're going to focus right here just for a moment. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. He encourages, listen, this is so awesome. He said, everything that's happened to me is happening for the furtherance of the gospel. You listen, this is hard. This is real tough Christianity stuff. You need to kind of take this verse right here and kind of put it in under a microscope and study it and say, God, help me have this attitude. All right? Now listen, I would love to stand up here and tell you that I have mastered this. I have not. But I am working on it. And I'm better now than I was before, and I'll be better in the future than I am now. Amen? When things happen to you, when bad things seemingly happen, let me give you a little illustration where Paul is. Paul, while he is writing this letter, when it came to them, he was in prison. Okay, not just any prison, but he was in a hole. A deep, dark, damp hole with poor lighting, and poor writing utensils, and he was cold. Amen? And right outside the window where he was writing this from, they were building the gallows in which they were going to hang him. Okay? So when he penned this saying, everything that's happening to me is happening to the furtherance of the gospel. Everybody's heard of my imprisonment. Everybody's heard of my trouble. But the trouble is the vehicle God was using to get the gospel out. I don't know if I could just tell you this. You need to put the, everything that's happened to you as a Christian. That's not, if you're reaping, it's not sinful behavior, not disobedient to God, but you're living your life for Jesus and bad things happen. Just put it in. This is going to further the gospel. Amen? It's going to further. Man, I'm telling you, that's a grown-up Christian attitude. And I don't think it's easy to come by. But I think it's good to obtain. I believe it's a good thing to obtain, to go after. Amen? Let's look at it a little bit closer. This is something that I've learned just in the last couple days to add to this in verse 14. It says, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. 14. I've kind of taught that in a weird way. Over the years, I've kind of seen a little bit more development out of that, and I've kind of studied out some words in context right there. What he was saying is, when somebody's persecuted for the gospel's sake, it doesn't hinder the gospel. It expands the it expands the workforce of the gospel. I hope y'all just got that. Persecution expands the workforce of the gospel. You would think it's opposite, wouldn't you? You would think prosperity and good times and everything going well for the church, you would think the church would just be like, do you understand what I'm saying? You'd think the church was just, it would just expand and get bigger because you know what? The church is doing so good. They've got money. They got a great building. They got good air conditioning. They got everything they need. They got all their resources. The church should grow during that time. That's not necessarily true. Amen? The church has always grown through persecution. Always. Amen? When the church was trying to be stomped out at 120 people, just a few weeks and months after that, they said, you're trying to turn the whole world upside down. Matter of fact, the church, with just in the first few days, added 3,000 members and then 5,000 members just in the first few days. And that's when, if you said, I believe that, they would say, there's a cross for you. And they didn't mean one to hang around your neck. They meant for one to be on your back. Amen? But that's the way it goes. But in 14, he's saying, everybody's seeing me in bonds, there are more people stepping up to preach the gospel. Amen? That's good, ain't it? I want y'all to get this too. I hope this is just a sidebar, just a little note right here. God is not limited by people. Okay. That's probably just for me. I'll just put that in my pocket. God is not limited by people. Don't ever think, without me, God can't do it. God will laugh you to, He will laugh you out the door. Amen. God can do it without you or with you. He prefers to do it with you, but you know what? Don't ever get to the place where, hey, God can't replace me. I used to think that about different jobs I had in my life, and none of the companies I've ever worked for in my life have went under. Oh, that really bugs me. Amen? And they never, none of them went under. Matter of fact, within 10 minutes of me leaving, I'm fairly sure they replaced me adequately. Probably above adequately. But if you ever thought that, don't think that with God, because I'm telling you, God, when they took Paul, I guarantee you, when the devil had a part in putting Jesus on the cross, and when he was in the ground, he said, oh, man, it's over. No, Jesus is like, no, this is an expansion for him. Guess what? Right after my resurrection, the church is going to blow up, right? Paul's saying the same thing right here. He said, because my bonds and my imprisonment, there are other people being emboldened to stand up and preach the gospel. You would think that'd be opposite. Man, you can get arrested for that. You'll go to jail for that. You can get trouble for that. Somebody's like, man, that's just kind of where I don't want to be. I want to be on the front line for God. And that's how God, he does that. He puts you in positions. Sometimes you're like, why does God seem like he's always trying to get you in trouble? Let me say, can we preach right there? He's not trying to get you in trouble. He's trying to get you to experience him in the trouble. Amen? I want y'all to get that. He's wanting you to experience it, because, see, sometimes we can get this idea that if we're not in trouble, then God's more in that. But no, the more trouble you get into with God or for God, the more you're going to see him and experience him and feel. And you're going to be like, I kind of like getting in trouble, because the more trouble I get in, he shows up. Amen? He's there. Paul would say, man, every time I got in a shipwreck, Jesus showed up. Amen? An angel would show up, messengers show up, something would happen, and it'd be miraculous. So it seemed like the further I got down the line, the bigger it was. I want y'all to get that. We're going a little bit further. I know we're going fast. You're getting a lot of information, but we didn't have singing. We didn't have a whole lot, but I hope y'all are letting this kind of permeate in here. Verse 14, verse 15. Some indeed, now I love this. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Verse 18. Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. This is so good. I have butchered that before. I have butchered it. But what I thought, I'm sitting there going, man, why would Paul put the stamp on somebody who was kind of preaching the Bible, kind of be like, not the right way, right? Not in the right spirit. How could he put an approval on that? Well, as I studied it out and kind of getting a little more mature in what I'm doing, I started looking at it. They were preaching the gospel. They were preaching Jesus. They were just doing it kind of like, I'm better than Paul. I'm just as good as Paul is. Are y'all stay with me right there? They were preaching it out of a contention of like, I'm somebody. But what they never got about Paul was, Paul wasn't trying to be somebody. He was preaching about somebody, which is Jesus. He didn't care. There's some rich stuff. I'm gonna be done right here on 18. I want y'all to get that. Man, if you ever just fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with serving Jesus, you won't care what everybody else is doing serving Jesus. It'll just be, hey, I get to. I'm a part of this. This is awesome. He's like, some of them are preaching for good reason. Some of them are going, ha ha, I'm preaching to Paul. I'm better than him. Paul's like, I don't care. I'm just trying to get people Jesus anyway. That's our whole point, is we're just wanting Jesus to be... We're just wanting somebody to receive Jesus. We're just wanting them to get the gospel. I love it. He said, what then? Notwithstanding, every way. He said, if they're preaching the gospel, I don't care how they're doing it. I don't care if they've got the biggest church, biggest ministry, biggest thing going on. I don't care if they're the hottest thing going. If Jesus is being preached and people are being saved, I'm good. That's nice. Let me get this last point. I want y'all to get this last point and let it soak in. And listen to the verbiage in which Paul uses when we close right here in verse 18. And let it just sink in. And somewhere tonight, just think about this verbiage he uses and then just try to apply it to your life when you're going through something tough, okay? Watch this right here. Or in truth, let's get the whole verse and I'll give you the end. What then, notwithstanding in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Now listen to this verbiage. I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Take your Bible right there. Look at the two words. He says, rejoice twice. Does anybody know that the word rejoice is celebratory? Amen? When you're rejoicing, you're having the time of your life. I see a guard maybe sitting there watching Paul. And as he's writing this letter, and he's thinking about all the different people that are preaching the gospel and some of the people that are preaching, preaching for the right reasons and people are getting saved, and the people that are probably preaching out of pretense. And then he's thinking about when he's seen that spirit man waving at him saying, come over here. We're going to start a church in Macedonia. Paul's sitting in that little hole going, Gah! He's writing, this ain't text. This ain't live video. This is a man writing a letter, sealing it, and sending it for maybe weeks or months on end. He's sitting in a jail cell, listening to the gallows being built. And there was rejoicing over somebody else preaching and receiving Jesus and a church that he got to be a part of. And he's saying, I rejoice and I will rejoice. Man, this is good stuff. Man, God, you're good. I love you. Man, I can't believe you use somebody like me. Praise God. That's good. That's a good word right there. Hey, bub, man, I'm telling you, God's good. I wonder how many guards that guarded Paul throughout his journey to Rome got saved just by watching a man rejoice in Christ Jesus. The reason I told you to underline that and think about it is you don't have to have perfect circumstances to rejoice. You don't have to have perfect things going on. All the things in your life don't have to be lined up for you to find a place to rejoice in Jesus Christ. Amen? Because if you take all the backdrop of what Paul's doing in 18, rejoice doesn't make sense. But if you take him from that place, the backdrop, and put him on the road to Damascus, the meeting place between him and God, we always have a place to rejoice. Amen? So when your circumstances are poor or less than, go back to the place where you met God and remember the things that he allowed you to do and rejoice. When everybody thinks he's down or she's down, she'll never get back. She might not. This is going that way. The test didn't result. This ain't a good thing. Let somebody who's watching you, maybe it's a nurse, maybe it's a doctor, maybe it's somebody and a family member, see you begin to rejoice and they'll say, maybe they might even have to lean over and go, what's going on? What's happening? I just started thinking back about some people I got to tell Jesus about. My life has not been a waste. Amen? Let's pray and we'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, we thank you.